This is DW News live from Berlin. The future of British Prime Minister Boris Johnson suddenly in doubt. Two senior ministers resign, saying they can no longer in good conscience be part of Johnson's government. Also coming up on the show, Russia is increasing its attacks in eastern Ukraine. Cities in Donetsk come under constant shelling, and residents of the city of Slovyansk are told to evacuate. Plus, Italy grapples with its worst drought in 70 years. Water levels drop to record lows. Farmers are desperate, and meteorologists are warning this is just the beginning. Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. Thanks so much for joining us. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is clinging to power after two of his most senior ministers resigned, casting fresh doubt on his integrity. Finance Minister Rishi Sunak has gone, saying the public expects government to be conducted properly, competently, and seriously. Health Minister Sajid Javid has also quit, concluding that he can no longer serve in good conscience. Boris Johnson has faced a series of scandals over parties held at his official residence during the national COVID-19 lockdown. His latest troubles are over the appointment of a senior party official accused of sexual misconduct. Johnson now admits that was an error of judgment.
Yes, I think it was a mistake, and I apologise for it. I think in hindsight it was the wrong thing to do. I apologise to everybody who's been badly affected by it.
So let's dig into this with the DW reporter Anya Scharfenorth. Anya, how serious are these resignations for Boris Johnson?
Well, I think there's no denying that this is pretty bad for the Prime Minister. I mean, two of his most senior ministers resigning, that's the Health Minister and the Finance Minister, or Chancellor, as he's called in Britain. And the Chancellor in Britain really is the second most important government position after the Prime Minister himself. So these are very serious resignations. And in the wake of them came some resignations from more junior ministers as well. So it seems like there's some momentum to this. But having said that, Boris Johnson still seems to have the backing of his cabinet. His other ministers have come out to say they support him. He has already appointed a new chancellor, and his other cabinet ministers have been coming in and out of Downing Street tonight, presumably to sort of thrash out some way out of this crisis.
OK, so these resignations having a ripple effect. This is, of course, not the first time that Boris Johnson has been in trouble, as many of our viewers will remember. He's been involved in various scandals over the past couple of years. Why now are we seeing these resignations?
Yeah, Claire, we all remember the most recent one, Partygate, which was a scandal around these drinks parties held by Boris Johnson with his staff at Downing Street when the country was in lockdown and he was breaking all of the rules that his own government had imposed. And those lockdown parties caused huge public outrage, and they led to a vote of no confidence in Parliament. Now, Johnson narrowly survived that vote about a month ago, and his cabinet stood by him at the time. But this latest scandal really just seems to be the straw that broke the camel's back. Boris Johnson said at first that he didn't know about these allegations of sexual misconduct against this Conservative MP, Chris Pincher. We just heard it there. It became clearer and clearer he must have known about them. He ended up admitting he had known, but he had forgotten. Then going on to say, we just heard him talk there, it was an error of judgment. So this is just another incident of him blatantly lying and showing no contrition and really putting, I suppose, the integrity of the party in danger.
So I know the big question, of course, is can Boris Johnson survive all of this?
Well, the leader of the opposition Labour Party has already said this government is now collapsing, but it's actually not as straightforward as that. I mentioned the vote of no confidence against him about a month ago. The rules mean that he is now safe from another vote of no confidence for a whole year. So he can't be forced out. If he were to go, he would have to resign. And that is what most Britons seem to want him to do. There was a poll conducted just after these resignations happened, and 69% of Britons say they want him to now step down. But we all know by now, Boris Johnson is pretty thick-skinned, if not to say brazen, in riding out these storms. So it's really about how much pressure he will be getting from within his own party behind the scenes for him to step down, and that will become clear within the next few days.
All right, our reporter Anya Scharfenorth, thank you so much for breaking that down for us in the studio. We're going to turn now to the latest on the war in Ukraine. Russia is stepping up its attacks on cities in the eastern Donetsk region. Ukrainian forces are, however, regrouping. But the local governor says there's no safe place left. Many residents are leaving their homes in fear of a full-scale Russian offensive. Now, earlier, DW spoke with Lyubov Tsibulska, an advisor to the Ukrainian government, and we asked her about Russia's victory in eastern Ukraine.
I think that victory in Russia's victory in Lugansk and Donetsk, it's, you know, maybe we lost the battle, but not the war. We now conducting the defending operations. And obviously, we need to go offensive and we need to get more weapons. And that's what we expect to get from our Western allies. Russia currently managed to get Severodonetsk and Lysychansk, as you said. And believe me, after a few months of very heavy, very hot combat, to get just these small two towns, it's not victory for them at all. And also, Russia's losses is extremely, extremely high. They lost more than 4,000 people.
Let's turn our attention now to some of the other stories that are making world news headlines at this hour. Prosecutors in the U.S. state of Illinois say they are charging the suspected gunman in the 4th of July parade shootings with 7 counts of murder. Police say the 22-year-old, who shot at crowds from a rooftop, had been planning the attack for weeks. He was apprehended after initially fleeing the scene. Strong winds have fueled wildfires in several parts of Greece. A forest blaze west of Athens forced the evacuation of a village as aircraft and more than 130 firefighters battled the flames. Earlier fires burned olive groves near the ancient site of Delphi and forced the evacuation of a beach hotel. And Italy is grappling with the country's worst drought in 7 decades. Water levels have dropped to record lows in lakes and rivers in the north. And residents in some areas are now facing restrictions on how much water they can use.
A cry for help in the midst of an early heat wave and no sign of rain. Italy is facing its worst drought in decades. The government has announced funds of over 35 million euros to address water shortages and a state of emergency that makes it easier to access them. The emergency also allows authorities to declare water rationing. Residents in Verona will face fines of up to 500 euros for violating restrictions on the use of drinking water. Many here, though, see why this is necessary. It's a good idea to save everywhere, save water, gas and electricity.
We are trying to get our children to pay attention to the importance of saving water. It's their future, and we must engage with this.
Other cities are set to turn off their water fountains. The drought has hit the agricultural Po Valley the hardest, with water levels dropping 85% below normal. Agriculture experts say the drought threatens a third of national food production. It's not just the crops that are suffering. The heat is affecting animals too.
We have a ventilation system for the cows to help them cope better with the temperatures.
For this artist, the barren fields provided an opportunity to deliver an important message, one that the government as well as the people of Italy seem to be heeding.
Well, earlier, meteorologist Alexander De May spoke to us from northern Italy to tell us more about the impact of the drought.
The result of the shortage of rain is that the accumulated volume of water in the big lakes like Lake Maggiore and Lake Como is less than 50% when compared to the average of the last 15 years. Moreover, the snowfall has also been the lowest recorded in the last 15 years, impacting the volume of the ice in glaciers. And therefore, the glaciers will become smaller and smaller, and some of the smaller glaciers might disappear completely. As we have heard earlier, the drought will impact the overall food production, with the result that food prices will rise. Then the production of electricity by hydroelectric power plants is down by about 50% due to the shortage of water. Also scary is, for instance, the salty Adriatic Sea has entered a record of 30 kilometers, which is about 19 miles, into the Po River. The sea is raising the salinity of the region's main irrigation source. And many towns, as we also have heard just before, are already rationing water for civil uses and supplying drinking water by cistern trucks.
And rising temperatures in Italy may have been responsible for the partial collapse of a glacier on Sunday that killed at least 7 people. 13 hikers are still missing. The Marmolada Glacier in the Dolomite Mountains has lost a third of its volume in recent years. Prime Minister Mario Draghi says climate change has contributed to its deterioration. Rescue efforts have resumed, but hopes of finding survivors are fading.
Most likely one of the hardest moments of their lives. Relatives of the victims in Canazzai, northern Italy, having to identify their loved ones killed in the Alpine avalanche. One of them sent his parents a picture from the glacier just moments before it collapsed.
They also called us. He sent us a smiling picture. Look how beautiful it is here.
Then a so-called serac broke loose. The 200-meter-wide ice block triggered an avalanche of ice, rocks and water on the glacier. It came down on at least 2 groups of mountain climbers. Climate change researchers say the disaster is linked to global warming. The past weekend saw record high temperatures on the glacier. And last winter there was less snowfall than usual, meaning there was only a thin layer of snow between the glacier and the heat. The result? Massive amounts of meltwater had collected beneath the glacier, giving the avalanche such destructive force.
The massive amounts of water acted like a lubricant, accelerating it. It happened just so quickly that anyone below wouldn't have had a chance to get out of the way. If it had been a dry ice avalanche, perhaps they might have stood a chance.
Rescue operations are facing extremely difficult conditions. So far, the search has been limited to overflights by helicopters and drones due to lingering danger of falling ice and boulders. Volunteers and their dogs have been retrieved from the glacier.
We were met with an almost impossible task because there are massive blocks of ice and rock everywhere. We had to leave because the temperatures are rising again and we don't want to risk it.
Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi travelled to Canazzai to express his condolences to the families of the victims. He also looked to the future.
We have to take all the necessary precautions to make sure that what has happened here can, with a high probability, be avoided in the future.
It's a tragedy that came so quickly. For the relatives, nothing will ever be again as it was.
And Algeria is marking 60 years of independence from France with nationwide celebrations. A military parade in the capital, Algiers, recalled the Declaration of Independence and the more than 7 years of brutal war that ended 132 years of colonial rule. Algeria claims up to 1.5 million people were killed. And the war remains a source of tension between Algeria and France. And just before we go, let's get a quick recap of our top stories at this hour. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is fighting for his political survival after 2 of his most senior ministers resign. Finance Minister Rishi Sunak and Health Secretary Sajid Javid say the government under Johnson's leadership is no longer competent or acting in the national interest. And Russia is stepping up its attacks on Ukraine's eastern Donetsk region after seizing all of neighboring Luhansk. The city of Slovyansk came under relentless shelling on Tuesday. Donetsk's governor is urging the remaining 350,000 residents to flee. That's your news update at this hour. Stay tuned for the business headlines. That's coming up next.